Matthew chapter 6. This evening we'll be looking at verses 5 through verse 8. Verse 5 through verse 8. And the title of the message tonight is The Worship of Prayer. The Worship of Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, it says, Jesus said, When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. The worship of prayer. Now remember, in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ begins to teach us about the true expressions of worship. True expressions of worship. He teaches that every true expression of worship of God will be manifest in these three areas. In giving, in prayer, and in fasting. And remember that each one of these things, giving, prayer, and fasting, has an aspect of expression of worship. In giving of alms, He is speaking about worshiping God with our estate. With our estate, with our things. With the possessions that we have, with our house. In prayer, He is speaking of worshiping God from our souls. And by fasting, He is speaking about worshiping God with our bodies. So, in the worship of God, we have the whole man. The whole man is to be engaged in worship. Everything he has is to be given to worship. Everything that he is in his soul is to be given to worship God. And everything that he has in his body is to be expressed in worship to God. The sum of our faculties is for the worship of God. Now tonight, we're going to look at the worship of prayer. The worship of prayer as it is taught in this Sermon on the Mount. First of all, the Lord gives us the presumption of prayer. The presumption of prayer. He says, when thou prayest. The Lord Jesus Christ presumes anyone who is going to engage themselves in worship, anyone who has the idea of worshiping God or the intent of worshiping God, He said, when thou prayest, He is going to presume that you pray. If you have any intention this evening to worship God, Jesus Christ automatically assumes you to pray. He says not if you pray, but when you pray. When you pray. When thou prayest. You see, prayer is the worship of God that stems from the soul of the man to the very presence of God. Friend, when you pray, realize that your prayer comes from within your own heart, and it goes directly, it ushers us directly into the very presence of God Almighty. When thou prayest, prayer is an act of worship. You see, prayer is the proper way men commune with God and pour out their heart in worship, in praise, in thanksgiving, and letting our requests be made known unto God. This is how you do it. How do you commune with God? We commune with God through prayer. Through prayer. You see, I talk to you face to face. I don't see God. I can't see Him. In faith, I lift up prayers knowing that He hears our prayers. And the Lord here does not tell men to pray, but presumes that men will desire to pray if they want to worship God. Matthew Henry said this. He said, "You would soon find a living man without breath as you would find a true worshiper of God without prayer." You'd sooner find a living man without breath than to find a worshiper of God without prayer. Prayer is as natural to the believer as crying for milk is to a baby. When a baby is born and he comes into this world and he's not crying, if he's not crying out, there's a reason. He's dead. And I'll tell you this, that if there's a man who says he worships God and he doesn't have any prayer to God, there's a reason. He's dead. He's dead. He doesn't know God. When Saul of Tarsus was converted, what was God's observation of him? He said, "Behold, he prayeth." Now, I'll tell you this, Saul of Tarsus, he said his prayers for many years. But it wasn't until he was converted, it wasn't until he was regenerated, it wasn't until he knew Christ that he actually learned to pray. And you know what? He learned to pray before any man taught him. Why? Because God teaches us to pray. He instills that in each one of us to cry out to God from our very conception. And so God here, Jesus Christ here, presumes that all worshipers of God pray. And next, I want us to look at the purpose of prayer. Not only is it presumed that those who worship God will pray, but He also gives us the purpose of prayer. Now, friends, there are many religious men that say their prayers. As I said, Saul of Tarsus said his prayers. But when someone comes to life and faith in Christ, they really begin to know how to pray. Many religious men go through the motions of prayer. These Pharisees in our text, they did that. Jesus Christ is drawing the line here, and He says, this is the line of true worship. This is the line of true worship from the souls of men. If you worship God, you will pray, and this is how you'll pray. This is the purpose of your prayers, to worship God. To honor God should be the purpose of all prayer. But see, these Pharisees, they love to pray. Christ said that. Look at our text. He says, "But when thou prayest, thou shalt not pray as the hypocrites, for they love to pray." They love to pray. It's not the fact that they don't pray. Jesus Christ is entering into that they had the wrong purpose and motive for prayer. They love to pray, but they had the wrong purpose of heart. They love to pray not for the glory of God, but to standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. These Pharisees, they would love to get in the temple. They would love to find the most crowded section of the temple, and they would find a stool or they would find a rock or something to elevate themselves above the crowd, and they would begin to lift up their hands and pray. Oh, they would pray so loud and fervently. They sounded real religious. Their prayers, no doubt, were right down the line of the law. They loved to pray standing in the midst of people, not for the glory of God, not for the praise of His name, not for the forgiveness of sins, but what did they pray for? What was their reason for praying? Their reason for praying was to be seen of men. To be seen of men. To have the respect of men. Is this not true of many religious men in so-called churches? And they have these things called prayer meetings. prayer meetings. The pastor was asked, why don't you have prayer meetings? And he said that we do 3 times a week. We call it worship. But they call it prayer meetings. And these prayer meetings are usually made up of the most pious folks in the church. And they go around, they take turns standing up and seeing who can say the most eloquent prayer. To find out who can really wow the crowd. Why? Because they love to be seen of men. The purpose of most of their prayer meetings is to be seen. To be seen as a religious pillar of the church. I knew a man, and I loved him dearly. I believe I perceived he was a believer in Jesus Christ for many years. And you know, as I was just reading this text, I thought of him. And he would always say, I would like to be, help the young men of the church. I'd like to be, you know, like a father to them. You see what he was doing, and I didn't realize it, he was seeking preeminence. And where is he now? He's gone. He's gone. I don't know where he is. I don't believe he attends church. If he does, it's not very often. See, men love those things. And I know that he had a sincere heart when he said those things. But he sought the preeminence. And so do these people. They seek the preeminence in prayer. But that's not the purpose of prayer. To seek our preeminence. The purpose of prayer is to seek the preeminence of Christ. To seek the preeminence of God in prayer. One of my favorite prayers is this. God, get yourself glory in this place. See, the glory of God should be the pinnacle of our prayers. The pinnacle of our prayers should be the glory of God. See, some churches, they have these prayer meetings and they even have written prayers for people to read. They pass out prayers for people to read. And then people coldly and religiously say these same prayers over and over and over again with no meaning behind them. Not from their heart. They were given from some man. They didn't come from the soul of a man. That's not prayer. That's not prayer at all. I'll tell you, they may even have the right words written on that prayer. They may even have Scripture written on that prayer page. But if prayer is done in any way to be applauded of men or to seek the respect of those that look on, friends, then we have not prayed. We have not prayed. If any man will seek the respect of men, if they will be spoken well of this world, they will not be accepted of God. You cannot have it both ways. In Luke 18, we read last week about the Pharisee and the publican. They both went up to the temple to do what? To pray. They both had the purpose to go up to the temple, and they have determined, both of them, to pray. To pray. But when the Pharisee stood up and prayed, he prayed thus with who? Himself. He stood there in front of everybody praying, but he prayed to himself. Because God didn't hear him. God wasn't the object. God wasn't the subject. And God wasn't the purpose of his prayer. The purpose, subject, and object of his own prayer was himself. And any prayer like that is not a prayer at all. It's not accepted of God. And so Jesus tells us who would worship God in prayer. We must recognize that prayer is not a public effort, but a private affair of worship. Public affair. It's not a public affair. It's a private affair between you and God. That's what prayer is. Look at verse 6. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet And not only when you enter your closet, when you shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father which is in secret. Oh, the hypocrisy of modern prayer to assume that because folks are raising their hands and closing their eyes and you see a big to-do, people are crying and people are yelling and screaming and shouting, praise God, praise God, praise. They think that's prayer. That's not prayer. It's not prayer at all. They assume because of their much speaking, because of their much yelling, because of their much to do, that God hears them. And that's not what Christ says. Hypocrisy of it all. This is utter blasphemy. And I'll tell you what, a church like that may be honored of this world. They may be recognized by men as some holy church, but I guarantee this, they are not recognized by God Almighty. And their prayers are nothing more than vain, empty words and actions. If they are doing it for the praise of men, now, I'll tell you this, Jesus is not speaking against public prayer. By no means is He speaking against public prayer here. He says, pray in secret. But I'll tell you this, even in public, friends, we are praying in secret. You should be. When someone is praying, you are hearing the words of that prayer. But those words should be something that resonates in your own soul as you pray to God as well. In your own heart. It's an intimate, private thing to pray to God. And I'll tell you this, if we include anyone in our prayers, it becomes vain words. Vain words. The moment we think about others hearing our prayers or what we think or what they think, well, what have we done but let them in the closet? We're to pray to God in secret. We're to pray to God from the inmost parts of our soul. Jesus not speaking against public prayer because He Himself prayed in public. Remember the funeral of Lazarus. Remember, He said, "Oh Father, I thank Thee." He began to praise and thank God in the midst of those people. He prayed publicly. He prayed publicly. The young church, when they were gathered together, the Scripture says they were with all in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Now let me ask you this. How do you know that they weren't all speaking out in prayer? Because it says that they were praying with the women. What does the Scripture say about women speaking out in public worship? We know that the Scriptures forbid that. It forbids that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. It says that let not the woman usurp authority over the man, that she should keep silent in the church, that she should not teach. You see, they were praying not like modern people think a prayer service should be. They were praying from the depths of their soul while Peter preached. And as I'm here tonight preaching the gospel to you, I hope that your soul is engaged in prayer. It should be. It should be engaged in prayer for yourselves and for me. As I declare the Word of God to you, you should be engaged in that. You see, I don't even have to hear. That's something between you and the Lord. You are engaged in worship, in prayer as you sit there. I heard this on a program one time. I saw this. They were advertising drive-through prayers. Where you didn't have time to pray, you could just pull up in your car like through a bank teller and this lady would be in a window and she would pray for you and you would just drive off after you finish. That sounds to me like I'd much rather have a drive-through marriage than drive-through prayer. Friend, prayer is a very intimate thing between you and God. It is a gift of God to His saints that no matter where we are, no matter where our prayers are offered, or in what manner our prayers are offered, if you can't help but speak sometimes, I know when I'm praying, sometimes I can't help but speak. And sometimes my mouth is closed and all I can do is groan within myself. Many times I don't even speak at all. I think those things in prayer to my God. It doesn't matter which way you pray or how you pray or the manner of your prayers. They must be offered from the soul, from the heart, from the seat of the affections to God Himself in worship of Him. Worship of God. I tell you that if a man prays in public, but he never prays in private time and spends time alone with God, there's something wrong with his worship. If this is the only place you pray, there's something wrong with your worship. If you don't spend time alone with God, there is something wrong with that type of Christianity. There's something wrong with that worship. Believers, let us pray more and not less. Let us pray more. Let us be, as Paul says, instant in prayer. Let us pray without ceasing. That's a lot of praying, isn't it? To pray without ceasing. But my friends, that's what our aim should be, to pray without ceasing, to never stop praying. Not to be respected of men, but to commune with our God in intimate fellowship with Him alone. That Pharisee and that publican, they went up to pray. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed in the middle of a crowd. Where'd the publican go? Where'd he go? Scripture says the publican standing afar off. He found the most secluded place in the temple and he met with God. He met with the Almighty. He met with Him because he had a need. And I'll tell you this, a man won't pray if he doesn't have a need. He don't have a need. Do you have a need? Oh, I have a need of forgiveness of sin all the time. I have a need of God's presence all the time. I have a need of God's deliverance all the time. I have a need. And if you have a need, you'll be like this publican. Get along with God. Robert Hawker said, a graceless person is a prayerless person. A graceless person is a prayerless person. But the opposite of that is true. A man is full of grace, he'll be full of prayer. He'll be full of prayer. Why? Because he's full of needs. He's full of needs. Let's look at verse 7 and verse 8. Jesus said, But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Jesus not only warns us of speaking for the applause of men and not to offer prayers from our heart, but He tells us here that we are not to use and speak in vain repetitions. Vain repetitions. I've been in churches where they have prayer books. I don't know if you've seen those or not. They have a book of prayers. I mean, not just one. They have a thick book and they would tell you to turn to this page. Everybody would stand up and everybody would say the exact same thing. And man, if you'd been in that church for years, you'd know every prayer in that book. And you'd just be saying it out of vain repetition. Empty words. And friends, they may be religious sounding words. But God does not hear a man because of his much speaking. because of vain repetitions. When we come before God, we know that our prayers are heard not because we pray long. I'll tell you this, I've been tempted many times when I've stood up to pray and I didn't have much to say. I was tempted to say more than I had to say. But friends, we're not heard because we speak long prayers or because we recite prayers. We are heard because of the blood and righteousness of Christ alone. This is how men are heard. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Flip over there, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, believers approach the throne of grace. You may boldly approach the throne of grace. How? How is it that you can approach the throne of grace and some cannot? Because we have a great high priest. What was the job of the high priest? What was the purpose of the high priest? It was to intercede. It was to be the person in between, to do the work of God, to offer the sacrifice so that our sins would be pardoned, so that we would have access to God. We have a high priest. Believers may approach the throne because of the great high priest. I'll tell you this, none of us, no man, anywhere, could ever offer prayers and worship to God in and of themselves. By their own works, by their own merit, or by their own person, no man is able to approach unto a holy God, much less approach boldly. Martin Luther said this, "I will have nothing to do with an absolute God in myself." I will have nothing to do. Why would he say that? Because Martin Luther understood who he was. I understand the same thing. I know who I am. I'm a sinner. And what does the Scripture say about that? David asked that question. He said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place?" Can sinners stand in the holy place? Can ungodly, unjust sinners approach under the hill of God? That Scripture says no. Scripture says no way. Psalm 1, verse 5 says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish." Friends, no man can approach unto God or worship God without a mediator. Without a daysman, without someone to stand between us and God. And that way of righteousness that the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What is the way of the righteous? The way of the righteous is Jesus Christ. You see, He alone hath clean hands and a pure heart. How is it that we can approach and intimately commune with worship God and our worship and our prayer be accepted? How is that possible? Only by Jesus Christ alone. You see, when we say in Jesus' name, that's not a magical incantation to our prayers. I know my children say it. That's exactly how they view it. They say, in Jesus' name, amen. They have no idea what they just said. No clue. And most religious folks don't have any clue what that means. But I'll tell you, it means this, that anyone who stands before God, they must recognize that anything that they have ever prayed, anything they have ever offered to God, in any thanksgiving or worship, any prayer request that they have made known unto God, the only way God will hear, the only way God will accept this is through the blood of Jesus Christ alone and no other way. And this is why we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, hear my prayer, not because of me, but because of Christ. Because of Christ. He's the way that a sinner can approach unto God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man can approach unto God but by me. I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, well, Jesus Christ, no, that's good. That's a way to God. There's many. Jesus Christ said, I am the only way to God. And no man comes to God but by me. Either he's true, he's telling the truth, or he's a liar. There's no middle ground here. He is either the Christ, or he's a liar. There's no other way. And friends, this is the very Son of God speaking. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you will not approach God but by me. And so when we pray, we must pray through Jesus Christ, through a mediator. Through a mediator. He is the means by which men can pray and be accepted with God. It doesn't matter how men pray. It doesn't matter what men pray. It doesn't even matter how sincere men are in their prayers. If they are not coming by Christ, then they are not heard of God. They are not accepted of God. Praise God, we who believe not pray in such a way. We who worship, truly worship God in prayer, we come only by Jesus Christ. We come humbly before Him, recognizing our inability and our inability to worship, our sinful nature, and we recognize that our only acceptance comes from Him. But praise God, we may have assurance that we are accepted. If you come by Christ, you can be definitely sure you are accepted. Friends, I want to make a distinct sound, a very clear, unmuddied sound in this, that Jesus Christ, He is the only way to be accepted. And if you are in Christ, you are accepted of God. And your prayer is accepted. Every prayer is accepted. Do you realize how precious your prayers are to Him? I don't think we realize that. I was reading this in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. It tells us that our prayers are like harps. Have you ever heard the sound of a beautiful harp being played? It's so beautiful. God says our prayers are like a vial full of odors. Sweet smells. There's nothing like a sweet smell. And God says, that's what your prayers smell like to me. They're sweet. Why are they so sweet? I know my prayers. I understand what I'm praying. And I know how I feel. I feel so weak. I feel so inadequate to pray to God. You must not be talking about my prayers. God is. Your prayers are accepted. Don't rely on your prayers being accepted based on what you've done or the faith you have. Your prayers are accepted because of Christ, and that's it. In Revelation 8, verse 3, it says that the prayers of the saints are sweet as incense. And they're pictured as incense. And the picture is this. The angel is standing over the golden altar. And the smoke of the incense is rising to God's nostrils. Well, we know this, that our prayers are sweet to God's smell because of the righteousness of Christ. They're accepted because He offered Himself on the golden altar of His deity. And it says that the prayers of the saints are in the hands of the angel. They're in Christ's hands. They're in His hands. And they are accepted with God. Believers, many times we feel like we don't pray as we should, and that our prayers have no value. And sometimes we can't even speak, but we groan within ourselves, seeking peace and deliverance, and feel at times that God has abandoned us. But friends, let us forsake our feelings and our thoughts about prayer. Let us, as the Scripture says, hold fast to the profession of our faith, Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Let us pray with all prayer, because Christ has accomplished our pardon. He has made us accepted with God. And therefore, if our prayers fall, if any of your prayers fall to the ground, it is because Christ has failed. But He didn't fail. And neither will your prayers. Neither will your prayers fall to the ground because God hears them. Not because of you, but because of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That should encourage us to prayer more than anything else. It's because they are accepted. Christ is successful. Now, does this mean you'll get every temporal thing that you ask for? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's no other children I love more than my children. But they will not get everything they ask for. Why? Because I don't think it's good for them. And you know what? God is greater than me. Our Father is greater than us in what it is to be a father. And He will give you what is good for you. And everything else, He'll say no. You see, no prayer goes unanswered. But sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. And that's good. Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, we don't know what we are to pray for. We pray for things we have no clue. What it do to us in the end if we got it? God does. And in wisdom, He gives us exactly what we need. And not always what we want. Friends, if our prayer is for the glory and praise of God, if you pray for the will of God to be done, I know this, your prayer will always be answered. Because God's will is always done. That should be the object of our prayer. That should be the subject of our prayer, is what God wants. What God desires. And not so much what we want or what we desire. The heart of every true believer in prayer is that the will of God be done. Jesus said, not my will be done, but thy will. Friends, pray for what you desire. Pray for what you need, what you think you need. By all means, God's arm is not shortened and He's not weak or tired like we are. My children come to me once, I can listen. Two times, three. Sometimes I got to have a break. But God's not like that. You can go to God every second of the day and He's never going to be tired of hearing you. You'll probably tire more in prayer than He'll ever tire of hearing you pray. Take every request unto God and lay it at His feet. This is the purpose of prayer. To worship God. And how do we pray? How do we get to the throne of grace? Only by the blood of Christ. only by the blood of Christ. I pray that God would bless this to our hearts and strengthen us. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.